Podcast. I'm your hostess, Linda Bruno, and I'm actually sitting with a really cool person today, more current student, I think. You've been like studying with me for what, a month?
A little bit longer, bit over 2 months if you include the breaks.
Right, and this is the fun part about like coaching various people because you find out about their backstory and you know where they came from and their life before trying to get into voiceovers. So, ladies and gentlemen, hello to Rob Carbone.
Hello.
And Rob, you had a past life as a marketing man. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I mean, I had a previous past life as Napoleon, but that ended badly. I spent 20 years. I got into marketing almost by default when I was younger. My mom wanted me to get a job in computers. and that really wasn't a definition back then. Everyone was using computers. And I got into marketing, started working for a company called Nielsen Household Services, division of AC Nielsen, the TV ratings people.
Oh, okay, cool.
Doing all of their databases. And I learned there that I had a semi-decent voice. I did some voice recording for them for on-hold messages. And I did some writing, and then that morphed more and more marketing, more and more writing, more and more creative. Took a 2.5-year sabbatical working for Bank of New York doing hedge funds. Just a hint, don't ever do it. and then went back into marketing where in the 2.5 years off, marketing pretty much morphed. There's the pre-social media website and post-social media website. So I started in marketing where direct mail was the big thing. Doing events was the big thing. Salesmen going out doing the big thing. Email was very, very rudimentary. I mean, it was a big thing to be able to attach a document to an email.
Right.
When I got back into it, it was Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. All of these things started growing, and it was like coming up so quickly. And websites. And websites used to be this thing where you had to have a degree in computer science to create a website, and it's really become something very simple now. And I think most people don't know how simple it is.
Right.
Especially people who are entrepreneurs and small business people. You know, as I'm getting into voice acting and I'm on the web, the boards on Facebook and LinkedIn, I see people asking, well, how much should I invest in doing my marketing? And I see people saying $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. I'm here to tell you that's not the reality, and you can actually do it more economically and take a bigger role in managing you, which is a brand. You are your own brand.
Right.
And managing that and controlling it is so huge. But so many small business people, so many entrepreneurs who are so focused on the main part of their business, they just view it as, I don't have the bandwidth to do this myself.
Right.
But once you get the hang of it,
it
doesn't take long. And there's some really cool tips and tricks and tools out there to help.
Well, I mean, it's great. When I found out that you did marketing for so long, and then obviously during some of the lessons we'd chat about things, and you were educating me on stuff regarding LinkedIn and some social media that I had no clue about. So I thought it would be so cool, especially because now you have the perspective of a voice actor's view. So it's great for you to share whatever tips you have or maybe mistakes people are making, you know, voice actors are making when they're trying to reach out to companies, do their own marketing and branding, you know. So that's what I'd love to, you know, just pick your brain on and find out what you think. Okay, what's one of the biggest mistakes you think people are making, voice actors?
One of the biggest mistakes I think that voice actors are making is their focus as far as their social media. Everyone knows Facebook, 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 Facebook. Everyone knows Twitter. LinkedIn is a little bit more of a gray area for many people. And, sorry about that. My New York came through with airier. while Facebook and LinkedIn work pretty much on the same basis of communities where you connect with people, you share information. And LinkedIn has caught up with Facebook in many ways as far as sharing video, doing live video streaming, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's two different mindsets. So Facebook is more of a very personal thing. It's much more fun, and you can play a little bit more with that. LinkedIn is a business network, business-to-business network.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that you do in Facebook, you want to avoid in LinkedIn. Some companies I've worked with not involved in voice acting, they still make these same mistakes because what they do is they hire people who are, well, they're young, they know social media, so I'm going to hire them and they're going to do it. No, you have to do it right. So putting a lot of cutesy emoticons in the copy on LinkedIn is going to turn people off. Using hashtags, which we can discuss later. Hashtags have to be meaningful for them to work. You can't just make up your own hashtags.
I always wondered about that because sometimes you see people with slews and slews of hashtags, and sometimes you're like, does this combo even work or exist?
It's not a combo, and it's not there are certain terms that will work better for certain people you're targeting, certain topics you're trying to attract. But Google, which is our overlord, they put certain priorities in place, but they're also sneaky. They don't really tell you some of these things. If you post up something on Facebook and you put in 35 or 40 hashtags, they're not even going to pay attention to that. You have to almost be selective. You also want to, as you write your copy, put the hashtags in the copy so it's more natural. Nobody wants to read a paragraph of copy and then
see
hashtag this. My head explodes when I see that. And the other thing too is, it all comes down to your brand, but understanding that if you're going after a certain vertical market or you're trying to get in there, they have hashtags that they're looking for. So you want to use those hashtags in the copy you're writing as well.
So give me an example.
Okay, so...
What's a vertical market?
A vertical market would be electronics companies, IT companies, okay. Retail home goods. Retail is an umbrella. You can have multiple things under retail,
right.
But each one of those marketplaces are going to have different needs, different desires, different things they're focusing on.
Gotcha.
One of the things that I find interesting is I used to do trade shows, and it used to be a world of big, huge trade shows. Now there are a lot more focused trade shows,
they're
focused on industries and even industries inside of industries.
Wow.
So you have to It's not something that's very easy to do. You have to do your homework. But if you're diligent and you put in a couple of hours a week, you're going to be able to start tapping into those people.
Mm-hmm. So as a voice talent, suddenly you decide, you know what? I'm actually really good at doing commercials. And, I work for a lot of companies like the Walmarts and the Costcos. I may have a voice for that. So as far as vertical platforms, how are you referring to this?
So when you're talking about Walmarts and Costcos, those are warehouse companies.
Yeah.
In the retail, they do have some commercial aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to target them as far as like what would their uses be for your talents?
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to be talking about? So if, let's say you're going to share one of your most recent commercials you did,
mm-hmm.
and it was for Walmart,
mm-hmm.
right? You want to put in the copy when you post it up on LinkedIn, wherever you put it, YouTube. You want to say, my most recent recording for hashtag Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love, you don't want to pander, but working in the retail space is one of those areas that affords me the greatest challenges. But you literally want to tell a mini story, hashtag some of those words.
Yeah.
But then there's another layer to it. So hashtags are something that if someone types in that word, I'm going to search LinkedIn for this word. Everybody who hashtags that, it's going to come up as this is what you want to look at.
Right.
The other end of the spectrum in LinkedIn is there are people who are, say they hire voice talent or say they work in, let's say you're trying to get a job. Take it away from voice talent just to give you a more broad example. Let's say you work at a talent agency and you want to get into the HR departments of all these different companies nationwide.
Okay.
In LinkedIn, there are affinity groups, and there are ones for HR professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are subsets, HR professionals for New York State, HR professionals for New York City, HR professionals for Long Island. If you can get into those groups,
mm-hmm.
And they'll, for the most part, if you give them a reason why, they'll ask you to submit a reason why you want to join it. If you say, well, I believe I have services that could be of value to them, they'll let you in, but they'll also let you know, everything you post can't be an ad. You can't
right.
be soliciting.
Yeah.
You almost have to.
That would be the concern.
You almost have to tell stories. You have to give examples of successes you've had or failures that became lessons learned. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, if you go out there and we have a person we've discussed who's on Facebook, a legendary person, who overpromotes himself as everything he does is amazing. Mm-hmm. He is great. I mean, he just does nothing wrong. It becomes white noise. I'd rather hear, where did you make a mistake and you learned from it?
Right.
Where did one of the people you worked with misstep in a demo that they had them do for you that they told you what went wrong and you learned from that?
Mm-hmm. Well, in this era where, you know, so many people try to paint this perfect picture of their life, you know, this is so perfect. Look at my great family. Look at my wonderful business. Look at my gorgeous studio. At some point, you're like, cut the shit, you know, and here's some reality. What's happening on a day-to-day basis? Tell me the realities. How hard was it for you to get the interview with so-and-so if you're going to brag about that interview?
Right.
You know, not that you're criticizing the person. I just want to hear the challenges, which is what we try to do on this podcast, is to talk about the realities of this business as opposed to sugarcoating it. So that was a question I had for you too, which you just already answered. But sometimes I will see some talent will post repeatedly, I just booked this, I just booked that, I just booked this, I just booked that. And I'm just like, at what point are we getting obnoxious?
It's, you know what, I'll use popular culture. You know what, after a while, hearing about the Kardashians and everything they do is wonderful gets kind of boring. The Charlie Sheens of the world, where their life just seems to be...
The train wrecks?
I just barely, you know, I am a hot mess and just barely missed this. Those are learning things. You know, I tell my daughter all the time. She's getting involved. She's going to school for TV and film production. And she focuses very much on watching indies. And I think that's great because, you know what? I can go and follow Steven Spielberg. And I'm going to hear about all these great things Steven Spielberg
right.
is doing and all these things that he's doing that are charitable. But the indies, those are the people who are struggling. They're doing the day-to-day stuff, and you're going to learn more lessons from them. I always find it a little bit odd that when you go on LinkedIn, they'll tell you about people who are, I hate buzz terms, so thought leaders. But people that you want to follow. And a lot of times it's like...
I'm an influencer. Right?
Influencers.
Yes.
So, you know what? Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, the guy who runs Virgin, his name escapes
Richard
me.
Richard Branson.
Richard Branson. And it's like if you read their copy, it's literally the same message over and over again, just repackaged.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather hear from someone who's got a small company and they've got a technology or an idea, and they're still in the process of the hurdles and feeling their way through it. They're going to be more interesting. They're going to be more compelling. The stories they tell will be more educational.
Hmm.
So being able to be a storyteller is a big thing with online marketing. And literally, digital marketing is going to be more powerful than any other marketing that anybody in this industry, from what I've seen, can do. I recently saw someone posted up on Facebook that people shouldn't forget direct marketing. And his example was sending out a postcard. That's something someone can put on their refrigerator. Well, I'm not really certain how many housewives are hiring voice actors because most people don't have a refrigerator in their office. And if they do, it's in the coffee room.
Right.
You have people who have desks.
So where are they putting this postcard?
Right. It's the circular file at this point. And yeah, he made a point that emails can get lost in the shuffle. Yes, they can. But they're going to be more effective, and it's more cost-effective to get them out there.
Right.
You know, sending emails out, you're going to be able to reach more people. And the other thing, too, the benefit they have over a postcard is if I send business A a postcard and they really like that, yeah, they're going to hold on to it. But if they really like it and they want to recommend it to another company, they're going to hand them the postcard. Well, you've just lost that person having that postcard because they passed it on.
That's true.
An email can be forwarded.
Right.
You know, and you always have it.
Right.
And there's some really cool things with the ESPs, which is a tech term, email service provider. That's what an ESP is.
Okay.
So those are your constant contacts, your MailChimp.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I use constant contact.
Yeah, and they have a great thing with constant contact where when you send an email out, you can say, okay, you know what? Resend it again in 4 days.
Yes.
Just to the people who didn't open it.
Mm-hmm.
Then if it gets lost, okay, you have that there. If you want to really be annoying, you can keep sending it out as many times
right.
as you want. But you can also, another great feature that it has, Constant Contact, is you've sent out the email, you can go in there and say, okay, if it's linked to your Facebook, you can say in 7 days, share this newsletter, a link to this newsletter on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Now you're reaching out to another audience. One of the things with Facebook and with LinkedIn is you have followers, people who follow you. But when you're constantly talking about yourself, if you're only talking to the people who are there, mm-hmm. that are following you, it's preaching to the choir.
Gotcha.
Now, if you use hashtags,
you reach a broader spectrum.
So I worked for a company here on Long Island that was focusing just on Long Island. And when I came in, their social media, it was just flat. And if you go into the analytics on Facebook, you can actually see a post, how many were followers, how many were non-followers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you now reach beyond, if you hashtag Long Island and the simplest word for your business that people are going to be searching on, I posted a video for this company where we had 5,000 hits. But when I went in and looked, they're like, well, what is this really getting us? I showed them the analytics. Of those 5,000 hits, only 500 of your 3,400 followers were those 5,000 hits. The other 4,500 hits were people who aren't even following you. So you've just now reached beyond your audience.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's part of hashtags. Mm-hmm. That's part of search engine optimization with websites. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. I'm sure the people, as they're going to listen to this, are going to have a lot of questions. You might have questions when we're done.
I'll tell you one thing. I feel sometimes completely overwhelmed with all the social media because I like to do videos, but then like if I post a video on my YouTube, on the YouTube channel, I'm like, okay, so now I have to share it, you know, and then I have to share it, you know, through the Twitter feed. And you so use like Zoho. What do you call those websites where they basically handle all of the feeds for you?
Oh, like aggregators. Right. News aggregators. Okay. Well, Hootsuite is actually a great tool. The benefit of that is that if you're doing social media and you want to constantly put stuff out there,
right?
You can go on and every day you can go in and put stuff up and keep putting stuff up live.
Right.
Most of the social media gives you an ability to schedule posting mm-hmm. within their tool. What's nice about Hootsuite is you can go in and you can schedule in all of your social media. You can schedule out up to 3 months. I wouldn't recommend that. You want to schedule out 1 to 2 weeks. And then what's great is you're going about doing your business. Your marketing, your social media marketing is just firing off.
But you have to spend that time initially setting it up, you know?
The setup is simple.
But I'm just saying like with your content, because we deal with this all the time.
Right.
You know, we use Zoho. We used to use Hootsuite. We switched to Zoho. So same thing. And, you know, Sandy does a lot of the posts, you know, big secret reveal there. And she will find relevant content, you know, because I'm working, I'm voicing, I'm doing all that stuff, which is why I love her. And that's why she works here. But it is like a part-time job for her because she's basically content researching. She's linking. She's, you know, we've just found somebody, too, to help us out with some of our blog posts, you know, because...
Which is a huge thing.
It's like, it's so time-consuming that I sometimes feel like I'm drowning with, like, because I'm like, okay, how do I keep up? I want to put out content. I want to put out knowledge to help people. I mean, this is why the podcast sometimes goes hit or miss for a while because I get too busy or whatever, but it's just so hard to freaking stay organized. So in your opinion, what do you think is the most important thing that a new voice talent should first tackle?
Website.
Okay.
And the reason why is you're a voice talent. You are a brand now. You want to establish, when you're establishing an online presence, there has to be a foundation. The foundation is going to be the website. The website is where all your social media is going to lead back from. So the website is when you share blogs. But also, like you mentioned, YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I can share YouTube from YouTube to Facebook and things like that.
Right.
But all you're doing is directing someone from one social media account to another social media account.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're going to come to your website, which is where
you're
going to present most of your stuff. So what you can do is you can share the YouTube as a blog post. You can create any content and share it on your website.
As long as it's on your website.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then from there, branch out. I've explained it to people this way. Everyone talks about the World Wide Web. You basically have to create your own web. And your web is going to be very simple. You're going to have a website, and then it's going to be Facebook and...
The trees.
whatever social media, yeah. And email is going to be a part of that as well. And then there's third-party sites like Reddit that you have to do a little research and understand which ones are best for you. And here's another thing with social media. There are companies out there that will take a let's do everything point of view. You're going to be on every single social media because this is going to help with SEO, which with Google, if you want to get your website high up in Google ranking for certain words, you have to make sure your website is built properly, that you're linking to the right pages, that you're doing all of this fun stuff. But if you're a voice talent and you've got a Pinterest page, why? You're not sharing video on Pinterest.
Right.
Twitter. Twitter is fine, but here's the problem, and it's something that they low-key it, but and Jack Dorsey, they got him to admit it in front of Congress, is that about 50% of all of the people on Twitter who are following people are fake accounts.
Wow.
I worked for a company here on Long Island, and I was advocating social media for them, and I don't want to say I left on bad terms. The owner decided he didn't see value in what I was doing, so it was very passive-aggressive. He kept cutting my hours back.
Oh, I love that.
And the last day I was there, I finally found another job and I left. And, he used to monthly meetings. He would downgrade whenever I would say something. Well, did anybody tweet today? Did anybody post on Facebook? Like, it was a ha-ha, big joke. And the meeting after that, he said, I discovered that if we're on Facebook and Twitter, and his head salesman got up and said, I'm on vacation because for the last 8 months we had a guy here doing it, and you put him down all the time, and now you're coming in here like you know what you're doing.
Oh, God.
And just walked out on him. But then I saw this gentleman at a show, maybe it was a networking event, maybe a year later, and he's like, hey, we have over 10,000 Twitter followers. I'm like, it's interesting. You're a small company dealing only on Long Island with a niche product that works with a niche Microsoft product, but you've got over 10,000 followers. So I went and looked and see who his followers are. And the next time I saw him, he's like, what do you think of Twitter? And I said, well, do you really see a growth market in Southeast Asian sex workers and 17-year-olds from South America? Because you bought a list and that's what happened.
Oh, that's what happens.
You get people who, one of the biggest problems that small businesses and entrepreneurs have when doing online marketing is Southeast Asian sex workers, is that they will go to a company who says, we're going to build you a website and we're going to run it for you.
Right.
And it's going to cost you $2,000 for us to build it and $195 a month to manage it. And you're like, oh, okay, they're going to take care of this, and that seems reasonable. You have to be certain of what they're doing. I just worked with a client in a totally different industry, just doing marketing. He had a website. He paid $2,000 to have it built. He was paying $195 a month for them to manage it. When I got the contract, I saw that for $195 a month, he got one social media post a week, one email marketing sent out a week. If he wanted to make a change to the website, and I'm talking about he moves addresses, they were going to charge him extra to change the address on the website. If he wanted to put up an extra post, even if he was writing it and doing all the editing and all they had to do was post it up, they were charging him extra for that. And I said, you're getting ripped off.
Yeah, totally getting ripped.
And then I hope I don't upset too many people here with what I'm about to say, but this was something you and I were just discussing in my lesson as we were talking about the podcast. There is a company out there that likes to say, we're going to help you create fast and simple, a beautiful website that's going to get you all of these things and it's work really great. And it would be indelicate for me to say their name, Wix, to...
what is the problem with these? So, like, because GoDaddy does it too.
Well, here's the thing.
Would you say Squarespace?
And I'm going to unabashedly say, I get paid by no one to talk about their products that I like.
Right.
I'm a big Hootsuite fan. I am a big fan of GoDaddy, and I'm a big fan of GoDaddy with their WordPress hosting.
Okay.
And here's why. You go to GoDaddy, and you buy a package with them for WordPress hosting. If you're a first-time customer, you automatically, most of the time, 50% off. So you can get a hosting for a website for 3 years, sometimes for about $120.
Which is great, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's this one customer I had. He's paying $195 a month for hosting and managing his website. They were doing nothing. $120. He doesn't have to do anything as far as his hosting for the next 3 years. Done.
Right.
He owns that. What's great about them with WordPress is, and this is something people will say bad about WordPress. Well, if you use WordPress, you know, you have to pay for the URL, you have to pay for hosting. Whenever they do an update, you have to update the software because they constantly update
right.
their software.
Sure.
WordPress, what's lovely about them is there's a new version of WordPress coming. And when you sign onto your website, you may have a message that says, WordPress was recently updated. We updated your website. You're good to go.
Right.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. I have a WordPress site.
You have a problem. Call up GoDaddy, 24/7, 365 customer support, and they have people who are just dedicated to WordPress. They will help you. If you want to have them build their website for you, they can.
Now, the URL situation, too,
because
you touched on that before we started the podcast, to explain why it's good to have your own situation going as opposed to going with one of these prepackaged.
So, you know what? We'll use Squarespace, which I've heard as a place to build a website. I know people will use Facebook to build a website because you can set up a business page on there.
Oh, right. Yeah, I have a business page.
The problem is that your URL is now facebook.com/Linda Bruno. Squarespace.com/Linda Bruno. Even if you went through WordPress themselves, if you got a free site through them, it would be WordPress.com/Linda Bruno.
Gotcha.
And if, you know, depending on what you're paying, you can buy a website, a URL. And again, go through GoDaddy. And if you do WordPress with them or any of their hosting, they'll give you the URL for free for the first year. Mm-hmm. And it's $13.99, but you own it. And you can brand yourself.
Right.
So I have a URL that I was using for my my marketing consulting. And very happily, as I shift that over to doing more voice-related stuff, it'll fit very well. And it's bono-vox.com. Not advertising. Don't look at the website. I haven't done anything with it in a while. And I had somebody ask me, well, what is Bono Vox? And I said, well, I'm a huge U2 fan. And a lot of people don't know. Bono, the lead singer of U2's real name is Paul Hewson. When they first came out, his stage name was Bono Vox. And when someone asked him where he came up with that name, it was an eye, ear, nose, and throat guy in Dublin whose office was called Bono Vox. And Bono Vox is Latin for good voice.
Oh, cool.
So my URL, Bono Vox, good voice.
Uh-huh.
I can run with that. But you have lindabruno.com.
Which I've had for a million years.
Right. But the thing is you can now brand yourself. Now, if you go through GoDaddy and you have your WordPress on there, they'll give you an email option. And you can have an email address that's linda@lindabruno.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an email address as a small business person or entrepreneur that's gmail.com. But eventually you want to make it so that everything is branded for you. The worst thing I've ever seen is people who like reach out and they've got a decent sized company and their email address is Yahoo. Well, no. Or
right.
AOL.
Right. Oh my God. Some people
AOL.
Still have AOL.
What are you? Or, yeah.
They're hanging on.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, when you do like Facebook, and I know when I mentioned this, your eyes sort of like, well, like really?
Well, the thing is, I have a business page, but I wouldn't consider that a real website.
No, not you. There are people who will use that. Like I have a friend who she does as her side hustle. She does baking of cookies, and she does amazing looking cookies, like very artistic. So she set up a Facebook page, she set up a Squarespace page, and she has a Pinterest page, visual and everything
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that she is targeting, regular people, private citizens. That's going to be a good place for them.
Gotcha.
Once you start using one of these outlets for your business, it's very important to brand that so that when someone goes onto your website mm-hmm. and they start hovering over the little bugs for your social media, everything is going to be branded. Linda Bruno, Linda Bruno, Linda Bruno, Linda
right.
Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Digital Waterworks, digitalwaterworks.com, mm-hmm. Facebook.com, Digital Waterworks. Unfortunately, with LinkedIn, this is the only issue with LinkedIn. Or no, not LinkedIn, YouTube, is YouTube will not let you have a customized URL.
Oh my gosh, I
know. Until you have 10,000 followers.
I saw that. I know.
But it's okay because YouTube, even if you are a videographer, even if you're using it to post up videos that are one of your voiceovers and it's got information on the copy, you want to route all of that through your website anyway.
Right.
If someone finds you on YouTube, that's great. If they find your YouTube through your Facebook or whatever, but I'm a very big advocate of when someone finds you on social media, it should all drive back to your website. Customizing the information on the company page for YouTube, for Facebook, so your URL is on there, your address is on there, your phone number is on there. All of this information. Another thing, I joined all of these groups on Facebook and LinkedIn just so I could start getting a feel for the industry and listening to people talk.
Right, for voiceover.
Mm-hmm. And I actually replied to two things because I was trying to save people. One woman said, should I buy a list for email?
Mm.
If you've never heard the term canned spam, this is a federal law. It's a federal regulation. It's actually a worldwide regulation. But basically, it's to protect people from spam emails. And you want to use an ESP to send out emails if you're sending out group emails because they have canned spam criteria in there.
Okay.
And basically what canned spam is if you get accused of spamming someone, the first time, you'll get a warning from the ESP. The next time you do it, they will delist you until you clean your list.
Wow.
Now, here's the problem. You just went out and bought a list of 5,000 names, and the people told you, these are all certified. Are they certified that they want to get offers from people with the type of business you're doing?
Right.
Or is it just a list they gathered? If it's not, and you now are being told, well, you need to clean this list.
Yeah.
Even if you can parse out the list that you created and this list, they're going to make you clean all of those and verify them. The companies who do the verification of emails will charge you thousands of dollars to clean your list for you. And it can get and it's like, do you want to pay that or do you want to risk the possibility that someone's going to report you as spam to a government agency?
Right.
And if they come in, and these might be old numbers, it used to be you sent an email to someone and we view it as spam, $50,000 fine.
Jeez.
If you're found to send quite a few that have been reported spam, they might hit you with a very large spam fine, and then for each lower one, you could be looking at $1 million in fines. If you're a small company, you just bankrupted yourself.
Right.
So, you know, and even that with the ESPs, with Constant Contact, they have a thing that if you get 8% reporting back on any email you send out of spam, someone says, this is spam, I don't want it. They can shut you down until you can prove to them
that that's a legitimate lead. Yeah.
The one good thing, United States and Canada, as opposed to the rest of the world, canned spam law says that if someone gives you a business card, someone sends you an email, you can prove that you had contact with this person. You can send them one email and you don't have to worry. Whatever you send them has to have that to unsubscribe in here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As long as you have that, nobody can complain it's spam, because if you can prove that you met this person, they gave you a business card, in the U.S. and Canadian rules, tacit approval to send them an email is presenting you with their information sharing that information.
Okay, so that also includes, like you said, someone emailing you.
Right.
Is the same thing.
Outside of the United States, if someone comes up to you at a show and gives you a business card, let's say you go to a show and you collect 1,000 business cards. You have to literally send each one of those people a separate email.
That says,
we recently met. We'd like to send you a newsletter. Is that okay?
Is that okay?
Until they say yes,
gotcha.
You can't.
Gotcha.
And just to give you an idea of how bad it can be and things you got to watch out for is you don't know how old lists are either. The general rule is
if you have
lists of emails, anything that's older than 18 months, do not email them.
Really?
Don't email them unless you want to email them separately, personal, one-to-one.
But how can you confirm this with these email, like these list companies? How do you know?
It literally, when you get this information, you need to document it and just basically save it. So if you go to a networking event and you get 100 business cards, you enter them, put them all into your list.
Right.
Name the list as this event on this day. You know, you can name the list whatever you want. Then take those business cards, rubber band them up, put them in an envelope, put it in a file.
Save it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, boom, boom, boom.
You have proof.
You have their business card. You didn't go fishing for their email.
Right.
Another thing along the lines of email was somebody said on one of the boards, somebody connected with me on LinkedIn. How would I go about finding their personal email address so I can email them directly?
Ooh.
Here's the thing. If someone...
Personal?
if someone connects with you, well, even if, like, their private, whether it might be their business email address,
okay, gotcha.
But they haven't shared it. If someone connected with you on LinkedIn, that's tacit approval they want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But my rule of thumb is until they say to you, hey, send this to me in my regular email so we don't have to go through LinkedIn.
Offer it to you.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The caveats for that is if you look at someone's LinkedIn profile, at the very top, right below where their picture is, there's going to be a button that says contact info. If you click on that, it's going to open up a subscreen. Some people put their email addresses up there. It might be their business email. It might be their private email. Some people put their cell phones up there.
Yeah.
Which I'm always, like, baffled about. Why are you doing this? But, you know, so you've got to sort of have a feel for it and just know when to cross the line. And I am a big believer of no matter what you're doing when you're marketing yourself, go conservative until you build up that rapport. And again, you know, another thing that helps you fight spam is let's say that you have an email back and forth with these people and it was 9 months ago and they sort of lost interest or they told you, well, I'm focusing on something else. Get back in touch with me. Now you put them into your email list on Constant Contact and you send them an email and they report it back as spam. I didn't want this. If Constant Contact comes back to you, you can turn around and just say, well, you know what? I have an email stream through personal email where I was in touch with
that
this person.
Proves, right.
And I added them to this list because they asked me to contact them 9 months down the line. Right. As long as you have a real good reason, Constant Contact.
Then you can't get
right. And what Constant Contact will do is if someone reports you as spam, they automatically take them off your list. That's what's nice about the unsubscribe button is they will automatically clean your list for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone clicks unsubscribe, you cannot email them again until you go in and physically take them out of your email list and then re-add them at another time.
Re-enter them in, right. Uh-huh.
So we've definitely gone off. I'm like, I've got this long list of stuff.
That's okay. That's a lot of information. That's important, though.
I mean, just to hit the... I'm looking at the time here because I don't want to.
Okay.
I mean, the basics. And I'm going to put this offer out there. Not promoting myself or anything like that. Sort of. Okay, yeah. you know, if anybody wants to reach out to me and ask me questions personally or have more in-depth questions or even, hey, want a website built, I can do that for you. Contact Linda, you know, go through the, I don't know if she's going to put my email address up, whatever.
Well,
I don't know.
You can give your email now. I'll also post it.
Okay.
But.
My email is rcarb. 007, yes, I am a spy, at gmail.com. But a couple of things I just want to hit on as we're getting near the end here is very important, control all of your online presences.
Yeah.
That means is your website, your social media, you should have, you and you alone should have the highest level of administrative control over it because there are some companies out there that will... If you say, okay, I'm moving on from you, they can hold your stuff hostage. And trying to get back a Facebook page or a LinkedIn page or any of these things.
Yes, we are in a live studio.
it can be difficult. Even
right.
if you have all the proof in the world, it can be difficult to get back control of those.
Right.
The same thing with a website is someone can wreak havoc on you with a website. And again, if you establish everything, you're paying for everything, you want to make sure you have total control over it. So once they're done building the website, they automatically, and if you sign a contract with them, make sure it's in the contract that when the website is built and finished and it moves over to management and administrative, you have top level control and they can only go on and access it. You don't want to give them the ability to create a user, remove a user, things like that. And that's true of Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, any of those.
Yeah, you don't want to revoke any of that.
That's number one. Number two, like I said, Wix. If you just want to build a website and you're happy to have a website and a presence out there, Wix is fine. The problem with Wix is if you decide you want to leave, you cannot take the website with you. And a lot of times you cannot download content that you put up there on it. You either have to save the content or skim it off of there. The reason why WordPress is nice is it's a CMS or a content management system. It's completely based on HTML. And if you decide you're going to change hosts or you're going to change having people manage it, it's very easy to move it back and forth. Same thing with URLs. You can transfer control of that. With Wix, not so much.
When students are starting out, you know, I'm always a big proponent of, you don't really have to spend a ton of money when you first start out, you know, because there's good quality mics you can buy within a reasonable price range, as long as you have a decent laptop, create a closet with the coats, blah, blah, blah. But something as important as your website and social media presence is worth investing in.
Yes, but there is the one thing you have to guard against is you're going to have companies who are going to say, we'll build you a website, we'll have social media, and my personal favorite, we're going to get you on the first page of Google. It's
right.
only going to cost you $995.
Right.
They are hoping that you don't know as much as you should and you haven't educated yourself.
Right.
And there's certain things you have to be aware of. Number one, if you build a website in WordPress, whether it's with GoDaddy or one of the other hosts, once it's built, managing it from the back end, there's a book called WordPress for Dummies, and they're always updating
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
It is not difficult. And I tell people this, if you're going to type up a page, mm-hmm. it's like typing up a Word document.
Mm-hmm.
And there, what's nice about GoDaddy is you get access to all of these different themes, all of these different utilities that you don't have to pay for, all these different apps. So you can plug them in and you could do these really nice things, really cool looking word clouds, sliders, all these fun
yeah.
things. But once it's built, managing it is not that difficult. It's the same thing with social media. It's not that difficult, but there are companies who are going to go out there and really, they want to keep it a mystery because then you're beholden to them. And when I was focusing more on marketing consulting, I would tell my clients on a regular basis, listen, I'm going to build your stuff. I'm going to set it up. We'll do all of that. If you want me to continue managing it for you, fine. If after 6 months you say, hey, show me how to do this because I'm going to take it over, fine. If you say, you know what, just need you to build it and get it set up and then I'm ready to go, fine. I'm not going to hold you hostage.
Right.
Because in the end, I'm not looking to make money that way. One of the reasons why I'm getting into voice acting, and I'm really pushing hard, is I've worked in corporate offices for the last 25 years. And if I ever had to go back to a corporate office again on a full-time basis, I'm probably going to put my head through a wall. I
think that's a common
I just can't deal
yeah.
with it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, do your homework before you build something, before you have something built. And managing it yourself, yeah, at first it seems like it's a lot of work. But once you get in a rhythm, once you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to set aside 5 hours on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to map out blog posts for the next few weeks. I'm going to map out content I want to put up on social media. I'm going to use Hootsuite or whatever to set it up. And then it just goes.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you want to watch out for is turning off comments, because you'll get spam comments that you have to go in and like approve. Most people aren't going to comment on your website. If they want to say something to you or ask you a question, they'll email you directly.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Learn about the analytics,
mm-hmm.
Because the analytics are going to help you do better. Google Analytics, you can put that on your website. It's free. And while it's this big, huge, massive information, there's just certain things you got to look at. One of the big things there is what keywords people are using to find you.
Right. That's huge.
What of your social media is driving the most people in? What content are they looking at and really focusing on?
Mm-hmm.
How long before they leave the website? Email, build your own list. Don't go out and buy a list. Make sure you understand canned spam laws.
My very first website that I did when I was first starting out and first moved to New York, I bought a book on Dreamweaver.
Oh, God, Dreamweaver.
Yes, and I learned how to do Dreamweaver, and I built my own website that way. Because you know, I just thought, you know what, I'm going to dive in and learn how to do this. And it was no showpiece.
you know what's nice is I learned Dreamweaver. I learned actually to hand code HTML. That's how old I am.
Wow.
And I actually worked briefly for an IT magazine, which was great because I remember one day I wanted a copy of a Macromedia product when they still existed. And one of the other editors came in and said, listen, just call them up, tell them this is where you work for and what you'd like. And I called them up and I said, I was literally like something out of a Dickens character. I'd like a copy, please. And the next day, I got a box with every piece of software they had. And I was like, holy crap.
Wow.
But I learned Dreamweaver. What's nice is with the CMSs, especially with WordPress, it is, once you learn it, the basics, it's really easy to use. And it can be fun. You can have so much fun
yeah.
with it.
Just about that time.
And what's nice about it, too, is you may not be looking to get on the first page of Google, which is not a requirement unless you're a major company. First page of Google is not a big thing when you're an entrepreneur, especially if you're targeting certain markets, because you're going to be doing a lot of outreach to them to begin with. But what's nice is when Google goes through and looks at a website, they will rank you. And there's certain things they want. And one thing is they like to see well-developed HTML and WordPress. Beautiful HTML.
Like their little spiders are constantly going through, right?
Spiders are crawling all the time.
So if your content is not relevant.
It's not relevant if the links aren't relevant. That's another thing. Link building companies. If someone comes to you and says they're going to link you to 10,000 companies, beware, because the same company that I talked about that had the Twitter followers who were basically sex workers in Southeast Asia, they bought a whole list of links. And I went in and looked in Google Analytics, where's their traffic coming from? Now, this was a company selling a piece of accounting software that Microsoft sold.
Right.
And I don't know what the benefit was for them to be linked to so many dog food companies in Czechoslovakia, but they had a whole lot of them.
Oh, my God.
It was insane.
But you have to organically grow your own email list.
Yeah, and you want to know something?
Especially as a voice talent.
As it grows. As you become known, people are going to share your stuff. With the email, there's free versus paid. I'm a big advocate of going with paid. What's nice is they all seem to are following the same model, which is we're not going to do it based on the number of emails you send and limit it. It's the number of names you have. So if you have less than 500 names, you can go into Constant Contact. It's on a monthly basis, I think it's $25 a month. But if you sign up for a 6-month or 12-month, they'll give you discounts. Every company's going to give you discounts for being in there a year or longer.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go with WordPress through GoDaddy. When it's time to renew, 2 months before you're ready to renew, they're going to send you an email. Hey, thanks for being a great customer. We're going to give you a discount.
See, that's the voice I wanted to hear from you during the lesson today.
Hey, yes, I can do the car salesman. And also, if you give me enough time watching The Sopranos again, I'm going to go full Tony Soprano on you.
I think this is actually going to wind up having to be like a part A and a part B podcast.
More than happy
to. Because there is so much information that we, you know, there's a lot that we didn't even cover. You kind of tried to give like a little summary here in 45, 47 minutes, but there's a ton of information.
And you know what? I mean, if you want to have me back on again, it's not like I'm not going to be back in these offices again. In fact, I'm scheduling my next appointment with you after this. You know, if people want to email you and they have questions,
can forward or
we can focus on those and stuff like that. There's some stuff that I left out. I mean, just talking in regards to social media, the number of apps and tools that you can create content just from your phone. There's an amazing wellspring of those. People are, it used to be creating, I come from an IT world, so it was always very hardware driven, and then at some point it was software was driving the hardware, which is why when you buy a PlayStation, or you buy a camera, or you buy a laptop, I'm going to share something with you that the IT industry doesn't want a lot of people to know about. There's something called built-in obsolescence. So the moment you buy an iPhone,
gotcha,
it's scheduled to be obsolete at a certain point, and they will stop supporting
it. That's how they make their
money. And Apple actually has discovered that they kind of screwed themselves with that. So now there's ways to download applications for iPads they're not supporting anymore because there are people who are still using them. It's still a viable technology.
Right.
I have an old iPad that was my father's, and I'm thinking about using it as a teleprompter when I'm doing recording at home.
Smart. Mm-hmm.
And there's software you can do for that.
Right.
But I'm going to say this now because I know we're getting near the end. And if I come back again and do another or however we do this, I want to stress this because this is something for me that's very It's one of those things that when I see this happen to people because they don't pay attention to this, it breaks my heart because they've just caused themselves more problems than anything else. And I've said this before. Of utmost importance to all businesses, especially small businesses, especially entrepreneurs, and especially voice actors. And I'm focusing on that because that's the venue I'm going into now. I'm being positive. I'm going into that. You are your own brand. You want to manage and control everything. So when I said before, when you set up a website, when you set up social media, even using anything like that, you have to be, if you want to pay someone to do these things for you, that's fine.
But
you have to be the
control.
Top level admin control because, and I'll tell a brief story. I had a friend who had a LinkedIn company page. It was him and three other employees. And he let the one employee do all the updates for him because for him, it was too much for him to do. That employee left on bad terms.
Oh, no.
And he suddenly found himself where he was still connected to the company page, but he couldn't get access to the company page.
Oh, God.
And this person started posting up negative comments.
Oh, God, that is painful.
And the only thing that got it back was this person who did this, when he emailed that, he called them, why are you doing this? I said, if you're going to call him, record the conversation. And he recorded the conversation using his laptop. And we got the person saying, you didn't do right by me, so I am going to take you down until you pay X to get back your LinkedIn page. And as soon as he got that, I got the audio file, and I contacted LinkedIn customer service. And I said, I'm doing this for a friend because he's not very big on LinkedIn, but he's getting trained. This is what's going on. And literally 2 days later, the hammer came down on the other person, and they put my friend back in control of his page.
Oh, wow.
But this is an even more of a real-world thing.
Yeah. You don't
and
want
here's something to know for everybody in general. If you have a relative who has a Facebook page and they're constantly updating it, and that person passes.
Oh, the legacy thing?
Yeah. And you want to go on there and share with their friends that the person passed suddenly, and you want to take it down, or, you know, because you don't want this constant reminder, make sure that they make you, like, they give access to you, because Facebook will literally, you could send them a death certificate. They'll take their sweet time in removing it. And case in point with LinkedIn, and they're not doing this maliciously,
right?
Because you get people who will say, oh, I know this person. And they've had cases where they've shut things down. I worked for a company here on Long Island, and I often tell people it was a true family, because most companies I worked for, the families they were based on was the Manson family.
this is a real family.
But if they hadn't sold out, like not sold out, but were acquired by someone else, I would probably still be there very happily. I wouldn't even be delving into this. And the man who was in charge of the company when they sold to another large company. He was with them for a while. He left and started another company. Unfortunately, he and another executive did some things that the federal government did not smile upon.
Oh, no.
And he was investigated, and he was indicted, found guilty.
Oh, my God.
And on the day, very sadly, on the day that he was to turn himself in, he said goodbye. He said, kissed his wife goodbye. She drove the kids to school. He stepped out into the front of his house and took his own life.
Oh, fabulous.
And his LinkedIn profile was up for, I think, a good 2 or 3 years after that. It might even still be up, his personal profile.
This is a horrible story to end this podcast with.
And I don't want to be a downer. Don't want to be Debbie Downer. But no, it's just, it's you know.
He ended his life. End scene.
It's one of those things that you literally have to understand that these are all businesses.
Right.
And they have to be very careful and follow legal steps before they release something or take control or give control.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to the whole, you want to control everything that has your name on it. So if let's put it this way. Linda Bruno, the greatest voice actor on the planet. Yes, I'm sucking up.
and I'm smirking like, uh-huh, yeah.
If you decide tomorrow,
yeah,
I am done. I'm no longer doing this.
Hanging up my microphone.
You want to literally be able to go out and take down everything that represents you.
Oh, that would be tough.
Yeah. And here's another, and just throwing this out here because it's just something that crossed my mind because my little ADD brain works this way. When you're sharing information, when you're sharing content, as voice actors, one of the things that Linda has pounded into my head is that, you know, you're speaking on behalf of a product, but 99.999% of the time, unless you're a celebrity, nobody is going to know that you are speaking for them. You don't exist. You are literally, you're the Wizard of Oz. They don't know what's behind the curtain.
Right.
Because of that, you may have just done a great ad for someone, but if they don't want anyone to know that they went outside and hired a voice actor or did anything like that, you have to be very careful about sharing that content.
Yep.
So what you want to do is, on your websites, on your social media, if you have a demo reel, share that. It's yours. If you create your own podcast, yeah, share that.
Right.
Even if you get into some video animation and you're doing the voiceovers for that, share that. But if you have something that you did for a company, before you share it, make sure you have in writing that they are okay with you doing that. At the very least, make sure they're okay with, I'm presenting myself for a job, and I want to show this as my portfolio, but it's going to be done privately.
Right.
You never want to cross boundaries with people where it gets a legal issue. And I've seen
I ask if I get something, especially something I'm really proud of, I'm like, is there a chance that I could share this? Yeah. Or could I put it on my demo? And then they have to go through the channels. And sometimes they say, you can use a portion of it as long as this part is not in it.
Yeah, don't reveal our name, things like that.
And a lot of times I'm like, you know what, it's okay. You know, but if it's something that I'm really, really proud of. I mean, there's things I really can't share stuff with Disney. They have strict rules with that.
Right.
You know, and so you have to respect the company. You have to respect who's hiring you and not just think, you know, okay, I get to brag about this now.
Yeah,
you know?
No, you have
it
to be.
About that.
It's a very professional. You want to handle yourself professionally at all times, no matter what you do.
Yeah,
no matter
exactly.
All walks of life.
That's the nut of it.
You want to approach things conservatively while you're building yourself up, because once you get a bad reputation doing something.
Oh, it's hard to live down.
And here's the thing with social media. My last thing I'm going to say before Linda cuts me off, because this is another one of these passion things for me that just drives me crazy.
I know. We have to wrap up. The studio,
okay,
Dave's going to run in here soon.
I have a Facebook page. And on my Facebook page, I talk a lot of crap about a lot of things. I am passionate about a lot of things. I'm opinionated about a lot of things. But when personal and business are in the same room, never the twain shall meet. If you create a Facebook company page, you can create, and this is something people don't know, you can create multiple email addresses, and each one of those email addresses, you can create a Facebook account for. So if you're going to create a Facebook company page for your company,
right,
and you have a website, and you have an email address that ends in that company name, use that to create a new personal Facebook page just to administer the other page. On the other side of the coin, the moment you do that, take your regular Facebook page and make your identity your first name and your middle name, or your first name and your last initial.
So it's not tied.
Someone will find you. And you know what? What you and your friends might think is funny, no joke, I worked for a company where we were doing a mailing for an event we were doing in a town in South Dakota. And the picture we used was, this was where the stagecoach originated, the idea of the stagecoach. And we had a picture of the stagecoach going through the town for the tourists. And in the picture, the guy sitting on the back of the stagecoach with his back to the camera, you could just see a little line sticking out, and someone realized he was carrying a prop gun. The company pulled the email and refused to show the image for fear of ticking people off who were anti-gun.
Sure.
You couldn't tell unless you were looking for it, but you literally have to...
You have to be aware of these things.
They pulled a Thanksgiving greeting, wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving, because it showed a turkey and they didn't want to upset vegans. And people out there, we are in an anger-oriented,
yeah,
you know,
we
so
are
you
right
just...
Now.
Everything
PC.
Is... You know, no religion, no sex, no politics, no, don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, thank you very much, Rob, for coming on and talking
with
us today.
I apologize for the New York accent.
And we'll probably have to do a part two at some point to cover the other aspects of marketing. Or if anybody has any questions, I've been having people email me at info@voiceover.guru, and I will happily either pass them along or we'll discuss them during a podcast at a later time. But I do appreciate you coming on, Rob Carbone.
I was very honored to be asked, and you know, I'm looking forward to my continued work with you.
Awesome. And that does it for this episode of the VoiceOver Gurus podcast. We will speak to you soon.